In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. At the early service, I looked at the cover of the bulletin. It's the same picture. And I misread the caption, and I thought it said, Vacation of the Apostles. And so my mind went to that weird place where they were just sitting around a pool saying, hey, this following Jesus thing is kind of cool. James saying to his brother John, would you rub some lotion on my back? In the 1950 film, The Flowers of St. Francis, there is a scene in which Francis is walking in the bitter cold with his friend Leon. And along the way, Francis was reasoning out how one finds true happiness. Leon, even if we could restore sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, and bring the dead back to life, we would not find true happiness. A little further along the road, and Francis again says, Leon, even were we to explain the course of the stars, speak the language of the angels, and know the secrets of the heart, even that would not constitute perfect happiness. And finally, late in the evening, an exhausted Francis and his companion come across a well-lit, inviting house. And let's go to the house, Francis says, and share our love of Christ with the owner, and perhaps even find a place to stay the night. So Francis and his friend knock loudly, shouting, let us in so that we can share the love of Jesus with you. And the ruckus that the two created angered the homeowner, who threw open the door and he shouts, get away, you disturbers of the peace, get away, or I will beat you senseless. Well, Francis and Leon continue, all the louder sharing the message of love. So the homeowner beat them as he promised, threw them down the stairs and slammed the door shut. Now that we've borne all this for the love of our blessed Christ, said Francis to his friend, as they lay in a heap at the bottom of the stairs, know that in this resides true happiness. Well, I think this is a classic example of how not to share the love of Christ with a stranger. Unless you, like Francis, enjoy a royal thrashing for the Lord, but that's not for everyone, is it? In our gospel, we find Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. And I imagine him walking along the docks and fishing boats and nets and fishermen and fishmongers and customers. Jesus is in a busy, bustling commercial area. And there in the midst of all the busyness and the chaos, Jesus saw and then called two men who were just going about their work, Andrew and Peter. Now, visualize an itinerant preacher walking into your office. And I always imagine Jesus looking somewhat disheveled and covered in the mud and the dust of the road. So imagine him walking into your office and calling you to follow him. Those of you who work in the Pentagon would have a tougher time visualizing this seemingly homeless man in your office. Well, this is the position or the situation that Peter and Andrew found themselves in. Jesus literally walking through their workplace, calling on everyone to repent, and then calling Peter and Andrew to follow him. And as outlandish and far-fetched as this sounds, the call happens to us and can happen to us in the same way. Jesus calls us out of the ordinariness of our lives, maybe at work, on the playground, in the produce section at Harris Teeter, at the kids' soccer match, at book club, or at the gym. That call comes when a neighbor needs help, when a coworker needs a compassionate ear or a shoulder to cry on. The call comes when a friend says, you know, I've really been meaning to find a church. And the wrong response to that is, well, good luck with that. You know the right response to that. Now, in this evangelism story, Jesus uses the analogy of fishing for people. And I honestly hate that phrase, not because it used to be fishers of men, but the idea of fishing for people. Because what I know of fishing is casting out a line and sitting on a riverbank. It's a very passive sort of thing. And when I read the gospel lesson and Jesus' invitation to fish for people, my mind immediately goes to the riverbank with a nice cold beer and a hook and line in the water. And so here's the thing about that. Even though we're just sitting on the riverbank, we're going to a lot of trouble. We're going to a lot of trouble to fool a fish. We're selecting the right bait, perhaps putting a tasty worm on a nasty hook. We're hoping to trick a hungry, unsuspecting fish into swallowing our bait. And I get it that in the area that Jesus lived in and preached, that now the fishermen didn't use a hook. They weren't casting lines. They would cast out nets. But then that causes a whole different set of problems, because then everything you bring in with your net is an unwilling victim. So can we make this analogy of fishing for people work in our day and age? Well, perhaps we can't. One of the other problems I have with the fishing analogy is that it simply ends with catching the fish. Now what do we do with it? Well, we can gut it and clean it, I suppose. That certainly doesn't work when you're fishing for people. So how do we fish for people? To be more specific, how do we share Jesus with others? How do we share with others our life of faith and love and hope? And in the process, how do we invite them to this community? Well, I've said this many times, you're probably sick of hearing it, but I think it needs to be said over and over and over again. It is the personal invitation from a friend or a neighbor, the personal invitation to come to church, that is the most effective tool for bringing others to Jesus, for bringing others to church. So yeah, we can stand on a corner and shout and wave religious pamphlets around all day and promise eternal damnation. But would that bring you to church? Or we can cold call and knock on doors, but that's really not my thing. And something I've noticed is that some of you are really good about digitally sharing the good news, about the good news of Jesus, about the good news of St. Albans. You check in on Facebook, and honestly, I don't even know how to do that, but you check in on Facebook, and you say, I'm at St. Albans, and I'm being spiritually fed. You're telling the world, or at least your friends, and all the friends you don't know, and your neighbors, you're telling them that this is a good place to find community, to learn about the love of God and to share the story of salvation in Christ. So I say, take out your phones after the sermon. Take out your phones and tweet and post and blog and whatever it is you do about what is happening in our community and in your lives. Tell everyone about the good things we do. It is the sharing of your experience as a Christian, the sharing of your experience here at St. Albans, and done in a way that is not pushy, done in a way that is invited and welcomed. That's how we effectively share the love of Jesus, invite others to church. And tell them, it's important, tell them, we do not have a monopoly on the truth here. You are required to think. And that will turn some people off, I can guarantee you. Tell them that we are a community of believers traveling together on a journey of ever-growing trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, who promises to be with us always. Tell them that we are encouraged to question. Tell them that all are encouraged to think for themselves, and that your clergy are here not to tell you what you believe, but to walk with you as you grow in your faith, your trust, and your belief. And what we do have here is the presence and the excitement and the energy of the Holy Spirit in our midst, because we are secure in the knowledge that Christ loves us, loves everyone, and we have the desire to share that love with everyone else. We each have our experiences of the divine, where God has met us, and where Christ has healed us, and where the Holy Spirit has inspired us. And we have the beauty of our worship steeped in history and tradition. Tell them this is a place where one can find happiness and joy in life. And we have so much to share, and it is worth sharing. So tell them, we are a community of believers gathered in faith, building deep and satisfying relationships with God and each other, because there are so many people out in the world that are hurting, and that's what they need to hear. Jesus calls us to reach out beyond these walls to share the good news of God's love, because what we have here and what we have in our lives is just far too good to keep to ourselves. Amen.